I think every tragedy is an opportunity. So, you know, being severely hurt in a car injury led me to become a physical therapist, which led me to my first job where I met my husband. You know, so all these different things, I think they lead you in the path that you're meant to be.
Hello, everybody. This is Mike Payton with the EOS Leader Podcast. And today I have the great pleasure of speaking with Alethea Austin, co-founder and CEO of Achieve Wellness Spa, headquartered in Fort McMurray, way north in Alberta, Canada. Her mission and her company's goal is to help everyone achieve a healthier lifestyle. Alethea and her husband founded the business in 2009. And in that brief time since then, she's had to lead her company through more tragedy than any leader should have to bear. Nonetheless, Achieve Wellness Spas have won numerous industry awards, have attracted attention and mentorship from some of Canada's leading entrepreneurs, and have recently begun offering franchising opportunities. My hope is that Alethea can not only help us become better leaders, she can help us all, as her company tagline urges, live better. Alethea, it's great to have you on the show. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Mike.
So when you're describing your entrepreneurial journey to somebody that's never met you before, where do you start? How does the story go? Why don't you just bring us up to speed?
Mm-hmm, sure. So I usually start at the beginning of when we dreamt up this plan to start our own business. My husband and I were on our honeymoon. We were pregnant with our first son, and we were both successful in our careers, but we were working for the man, so to speak. And we're like, we wanted to create something that was ours, that we could really grow and be together and work together and support our family together. So my background is a physical therapist. And so I knew it had to have something to do with wellness and rehab. And so then we just combined it and decided that we wanted to create this wellness, luxurious wellness spa that was better than what had been on the market before. So like I said, I feel like my son was the inspiration. He was the key to setting off, what do we want to do? What big change do we want to make in our life? We spent 3 years planning and developing our business plan and finding the right location. And then a few short months before we planned on opening, our son passed away in a tragic accident. So we were left with, we've already signed the lease. Can we do this? Do we want to move forward? And we had some, you know, difficult conversations. Obviously, the losing of a son is the most tragic thing a parent can go through. But we used that tragedy to fuel our passion to grow the business in his name and in his legacy. So I think that that is something that I'm really passionate about and have been for many years as to why I keep going. He's my why. We've been through a forest fire that shut our community down for a couple months. We've navigated through having to close down because of a flood. And then we're in our third shutdown right now due to the pandemic, because it's still pretty bad here in Canada. So we've navigated a lot. It's been tough, but that's what started it. And that's what keeps me going and makes me get up every morning is my passion to grow it in his legacy.
Man, thank you for sharing that story. What was it about working for the man that you wanted to change?
I would say one of my very first memories as a child was working in my grandparents' laundromat and figuring out how to count out change. So I think I came from an entrepreneurial background. So even if I had a lot of flexibility in my workspace, it still wasn't mine. And at the end of the day, that's what I wanted. I wanted something that was mine, that I could grow in the way that I thought was best.
Oh, that's awesome. So you and your husband hatched this idea on your honeymoon. I know some of our listeners are hearing that and thinking, that sounds like the least romantic honeymoon ever.
That's what fired my husband and I up.
All right, that's fine. That's fine. And we don't need to go into additional detail about that, but if you want to, it is a PG-rated podcast, so we're all good. Oh, my goodness. So as I understand it, when you first started your Achieve Wellness Spa, you looked at other opportunities first, this three-year period of figuring out how you were going to do this. You didn't see anything on the market that met the standards you and your husband had talked about when you hatched this idea, correct?
That's correct. There was nothing like it. Since then, a few things similar have popped up, but at the time there was nothing, because we were looking at, it'd be nice to go into like a franchise model, something that's already set up and developed, and we can just carry on with the model. But truly, there was nothing out there. So we created our own.
What was lacking, or what are the services or the style or the approach that you took that was different and better in your mind? Help the listener understand that.
More one-on-one care for the client. It wasn't just about numbers, get them in, get them out, bill their insurance, let's go, and just rolling people through like cattle, so to speak. That model is not for me. I wanted to create a place where people could truly feel luxury and wellness and one-on-one care from their service provider. So we have individualized rooms and dedicated time. So in many clinics, physios will jump from patient to patient. There's no jumping. It's dedicated one-on-one time with the client.
Awesome. And how long did you operate one facility before you opened your second company-owned location?
So we opened our first one in 2014, and then we opened our second one in 2018. After we got that one up and running, I said to my husband, okay, I think I'm ready to franchise. He's like, are you crazy? And I'm like, yes, I am. And I put out into the universe what it would need to take. And I'm like, because who are Tom and Alethea from Fort McMurray, Canada? I'm like, we need a strategic business partner. So I reached out to Arlene Dickinson's team. She's part of Dragon's Den, which is like the Shark Tank in the US, where you go and pitch. Yeah. So I didn't have to pitch on the show, but I reached out to the team to see if they're interested in our business model, and they were. And so then we started working with her. We signed our first franchise deal in January of 2020, and then the pandemic.
Yeah.
But since then, we still managed to gain some traction. It's been slower than anticipated, but we're still gaining traction. So we open our first franchise and next week, actually.
Oh, nice.
Another for the fall, and two more scheduled for early next year.
What's the geographic footprint? All Alberta? Are you expanding across Canada? What's the plan?
Western Canada.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
So Manitoba to BC is our plan for now.
Got it. So let's change subjects from the business to leadership in general, if we can. I want you to go back to your earliest days, and maybe it was your grandparents as entrepreneurs, but who's the first leader you remember looking at saying that's what leadership is or isn't in your life?
Preparing for this, I thought a lot about that, because I'm like, I don't know that I had that many great influential leaders in my life, and I just kind of figured it out the messy way. I grew up in a small farming community, and I think that that was very integral in teaching me work ethic. Farmers work hard, and that instilled a good base for me. And I knew I never wanted to be a farmer or marry a farmer. I knew there was bigger and better things for me personally. And so I hit the books hard. I studied, and I was preparing to, you know, do my own career. I had a few good teachers were helpful in my life. And my aunt and uncle owned a mining company in Ontario. And from the age of 13, I started spending the summers there, babysitting, eventually working at their front desk as a receptionist, things like that. And so that was interesting because it was working with family who I loved, and it was a good relationship. And he was a strong leader. He was stern. He made sure I was there on time, things like that. So I would say it was my uncle and aunt that were the first good leaders. And then after that, I had many bad leaders, and I learned a lot about what not to do.
Yeah. So let's play a little word association game. Starting with the good leaders that have influenced the way you've developed, give me three or four characteristics or tendencies you hope to emulate when you're leading and managing people.
Passionate for what they do, dedicated, and driven. Driven for constant growth.
When you are looking for a new employee, are you trying to hire for those natural tendencies, or are you feeling like you can infuse that in people who may not possess them?
No, I'm looking for those natural core values that I use top grading when I'm doing interviews. So we go right back to high school. Tell me about your high school. Who were you? Because that's when your personality is forming, is in those critical years. And I don't believe people can change that easily. Mm-hmm. They can try to fit it into your mold for a little while, but eventually their true colors showing. So I need people that emulate the same things as I.
So Alethea, if you go back to high school when you're interviewing, I'm going to take apply for a job at Achieve Wellness Spa off the list, because you would not hire the high school version of me if you have any sense at all.
Well, we can also see how you grew after that.
Okay.
Like, what formed you? What is this for? are. What are your core values, right?
Yeah. Well, the people who know me best may suggest that you should just stop at the high school years. That's good enough. So now give me a couple tendencies, characteristics, attributes, flaws of the leaders and managers you know you don't want to be like.
That they're not honest, that they don't lead by example, and that they are unable to delegate. They're unable to trust their team, and they're focused on themselves and the business and the dollars, not the people.
Mm. Let's talk about that word trust for a little longer. So what are some of the behaviors you see in managers or leaders or supervisors or team leaders or even independent contributors that have done enough in their career that they feel like they're always right? What are they doing that erode trust around them?
They're not listening. They don't care about other people's opinions, and they don't make people feel heard or respected or like that their opinion matters. Mm.
Yeah, so that willingness to acknowledge everyone's gift and allow them to contribute feels really important to you as a leader.
Absolutely. Yeah. My team knows they can always speak to me. I don't always listen. I'll be honest. I'm sometimes arrogant and it's my way, but it has to be a discussion. I have to understand their point of view and why, and then we can have a discussion of what's best moving forward. So,
yeah. So we talked a little bit about the tragedy of your son and the difficult circumstances around the forest fire. Here we are attempting to come out of a global pandemic. What are the characteristics or tendencies you rely on most when you're in pain and when you're scared and frustrated as a leader? How do you get through those moments as the kind of leader you want to be?
I'll be honest that this one, because it lasted so long, the pandemic, has been the hardest thing for me to lead through. Trying to stay motivated and keep everybody else motivated and calm and moving in the right direction when there's fears and there's financial woes and things like that. It's been tough. And prior to the pandemic, I was on plane every week. I was jet setting around. I was doing business deals. I was building relationships. And then all of a sudden, nothing. For such a long period of time, it really kind of threw me off my game, because I'm a doer. I'm a visionary and I'm a doer. And when you sit me down and say, I can't do anything, I don't know what to do. So it took a lot of willpower to start putting one foot in front of the other again and lead my team out of it. And we're still leading the team out of it, but it's about showing up. It's been tough, but I show up because this is my baby. Who else is going to do it if I don't show up?
Yeah. And there is a future out there in which operating as whatever normal is going to happen. And if you're not ready for that future, it was all for naught, right?
Absolutely. So yeah. I just have to be creative and find other ways for me to stay busy. So I read 60 books a year. I took a Yale, a Harvard, and an MIT course online over this past year, because, and all on leadership, because I need to grow. I need to stay motivated. I need to do. So I can't just sit on the beach.
Yeah. For the record, I feel like I need to work quite a bit harder just talking to you for 10 minutes. I'm super motivated here. So thank you for doing that for me. I don't know that they'd allow me in an MIT course, just so we're clear. Let's talk about living better and where that comes from. You know, I love the mission of the organization. Why do you feel so passionate about that? And how do you think helping people live better is going to change the world?
I'm somewhat of a spiritual being. I believe in karma and I believe in doing good. And I've always been, I feel like, on my own wellness journey, right? Everybody's on a journey. So I was on my own wellness journey. It's something that I was passionate about. And it happened from a car injury that I got passionate about helping others. So I think every tragedy is an opportunity. So, you know, being severely hurt in a car injury led me to become a physical therapist, which led me to my first job where I met my husband, which led me, you know, so all these different things, I think they lead you in the path that you're meant to be. And helping others is really rewarding to me. And then when I got out of the hands-on, so as soon as we opened up the business, I became a full-time leader, no longer treating clients or patients. Helping others turned into growing other leaders. Mm-hmm. And that was what I became passionate about. And even if they're not going to stay with the company, I felt good about helping these people on their journey. Yeah. And I've had people come back to me many years later and said that I inspired them to do great things. And that's just the best feeling. Mm.
What impact has the business's journey and your evolution as a leader had on your relationships at home?
I think I am raising two of the strongest, fiercest little girls that are going to be something someday. So
that's awesome. How old now?
6 and 9.
Oh, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Do you see parallels and differences between growing as a parent and growing as a leader?
I have more patience as a parent. So maybe it's taught me more patience. I've definitely taught me more negotiation skills. Oh. Have you ever negotiated with a 5-year-old about something?
Yeah.
So
I'm a pushover with the kids. That's for sure. That is for sure. Oh my goodness. If you had to point to one massive success in your business life, what is it? What'd you do? Do you feel like you were responsible for it, or you just fell backwards out of a boat and hit water? What'd you learn? What are you going to try and do over and over again?
I'm a relationship builder, like I said, and I'm active in volunteering. So I sit on a lot of boards and I surround myself with other great minds. I always said, if I'm the smartest person in the room, I need a new room because I want to be growing and learning from other people. And I give a lot of my time back, like I said, to different boards. So that has helped open up doors for me and the business. We won top 25 spas in Canada 2 times, simply from the relationships that I built. So the people in the industry even knew we existed, right? Mm-hmm. And then, like I said, when I decided to franchise, I thought about it and I researched it and I did what I needed to learn. And then I figured out we needed a strategic partner and I went out and sought one. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that I've just fallen into luck anytime. I've worked hard for it and I've been strategic and I'm constantly learning what I don't know to move to the next step.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are a couple of words that are resonating with me as I am engaged in this conversation with you. Unbelievable courage and unquenchable thirst for learning, you know, two really important ingredients that obviously play a powerful role in your life. And then the third is just spirituality and really feeling your way and trusting that gut and and asking for help. And it's really impressive, really impressive. If you had to change one thing about yourself as a leader that you know would make you better, what's that one thing?
Oh, if I could be a morning person, I'd be so much more productive. Being a mom has taken a lot of my oomph. No, but.
That's why I'm very grateful for caffeine. Very grateful.
Yeah. I tried that 5 a.m. club for a little while. It turned into the 7 a.m. club. That's the best I can do.
Yeah, so. I'm with you. Yeah, the morning routine when it's got to start at 4:30 is pretty rough. So.
Yeah.
And your kids have their own clock, right? I mean, wait until they get to be older and their clock has you up later and later and later. So if your employees were talking to friends about why they like working for you, what are the characteristics or attributes they'd call out?
Well, actually, I have asked them because it was part of one of my Yale courses to get feedback on my leadership.
Awesome.
So I actually do know the answer to this, and I'm not just making it up. They love my communication style and my dedication to growth of them and myself. So, and that I lead by example. I'm not too high and mighty to go and flip some laundry when I'm at the spa or to, you know, jump on the front desk and help hang up jackets. Like, I'll do what needs to be done.
Yeah. Awesome. And then as you contemplate this transition from 2 company-owned locations to a franchising organization is going to involve a lot of change in the nature of the organization, your roles. Walk us through how you expect this is going to play out over the next few years so we get a sense of your journey in the future.
Well, one of my managers, Jacqueline, I wish I could clone her 1,000,000 times. She's fantastic. She worked for me for the last 5 years. She went away and came back. She said, I can't work for anybody else. I'm like, thank you. I'll keep you forever. So that's fine. So she is now going to be the head of the franchise field consulting. So she'll be doing the franchise training and the field site checks. And I'll be overseeing her and other trainers. And so I have worked my way out of being the director of the spa, the ops managers and the general managers. They handle that. I'm probably in the spa for an hour and a half a week just to do a few things that I haven't yet delegated out. And that's the way I wanted it. I'm ready for my next challenge, and that's the franchise side of things, mm-hmm. growing out the different locations across Western Canada, helping those entrepreneurs become successful business owners. That just brings me so much excitement and passion. And so I feel like the excitement and passion of running our core companies, we've done it so well, I don't need to be there. I can delegate this out and move on to something I'm more passionate about, which is helping people grow businesses now.
Prediction for where you'll be in 2030 in terms of number of locations?
The goal is, the big, hairy, audacious goal is to have 60 locations.
Wow, amazing. And are you full-time in the visionary seat when that happens?
Absolutely. I'm really trying to be full-time in the visionary seat in the next 2 years, to be honest.
Terrific.
Right now I'm visionary and integrator, but I'm hopeful that I can move my way into straight visionary in the next 2 years.
Yeah, I'm seeing some things in you that I could see you being a great integrator too, but I'm guessing that your natural gifts fall into the visionary seat and you'll be living a better life yourself when you're able to spend all your time there. So. Mm-hmm. Is there any big mistake or do-over you wish you had as you look back on the spa's journey?
Big mistake at first was hiring just anybody who wanted a job, because we live in a bit of a remote place and it's hard to bring people here for employment. So we just recruit all across Canada. Okay, you have your RMT, your massage therapy. Yeah, just come. Not doing proper interviews. So we had such a mishmash of people that didn't fit a culture. The culture wasn't clear. I wish I didn't do that. I'd rather have fewer people that are the right people than have this huge team of people that are fighty and catty and it just doesn't work.
I'm with you. Now, I want to talk about this because I think the number one problem my clients all have, all the leaders I'm talking to have in common right now, is it is darn hard to find world-class talent, and once you get them, to keep them. And so you are in a very remote part of the world. You have very specialized hiring needs. How have you cracked that nut and attracted and retained some of the great people that you've got?
Mm-hmm. We're very clear up front about what our core values are. We put them right on the ads wherever we're advertising. And the fact that we've built such a quality tight run ship, and that we've been recognized through Leading Spas of Canada and through different things as a top spa, people are drawn to that. They're drawn to the quality, they're drawn to our mission and our vision and our core values. And if they're not, then they're not the right people.
Nice. And then from a retention standpoint, what is it that keeps them engaged?
I pay a lot. No, we do every quarter. We do something fun with the team as a team appreciation and team building. We're just always like a go, go, go. If anybody gets a positive review, it gets stuck up on a green sheet. We're always just patting each other's back. And we pay for extra education per year so that people can always be growing within their field.
Yeah, I always joke, you know, there's nothing wrong with competitive wages. But if you read Daniel Pink's drive, it really is the ability to make a difference, the autonomy to make your own decisions, the meaning associated with the work that people are doing. And it sounds like you're really clued into that part of it, as well as compensating fairly or well. That combination is pretty solid. And then, you know, if Jacqueline's story is anything worth repeating over and over again, the fact that she can't work for anybody but you is something I hope the listeners heard. Lead in a way that your people can't imagine not working with or for you, and it'll be much harder for them to accept opportunities outside the organization. And if they do, they may come back. So really good stuff. So if I ask you to go back to pre your honeymoon, when you're dreaming up this whole thing, and give yourself one piece of advice before you launched your career as a entrepreneur and business leader, what would that piece of advice be?
It would be, you're on the right path, do it. It's scary. It's very scary, but that's where the magic happens.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. Alethea, this has been a really fabulous conversation. I'm so grateful that you took the time to share your wealth of knowledge and your real world experiences with the listener. Where can they learn more about you and your organization?
I would say our website's the best place. So www.achievewellnessspa.com.
Yeah, perfect. And I'll be watching with great curiosity and as a passionate fan as you grow and cheering for 60 locations way sooner than the due date. So
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. This has been Mike Payton with the EOS Leader Podcast. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation as much as I did. It's all about making ourselves the best leader we can be every single day. Thank you for joining. If you're interested in applying what you've learned today in your own business, the 5 books in the Traction Library can be helpful resources on your journey. You can learn more about those 5 books and actually order them at a deep discount by visiting EOSworldwide.com.